welcome to our fourth episode of our Behind the Sermon series. Today, I have a very special guest with us. I'm very excited to introduce to you, all the way from Sun City, Texas, my own mother, June Allen. Can you say hello?
Hello, Scott. Hello, people.
You're being a very good sport about this, and if you're listening, so you'll know, this is not our first take. The first time, it didn't quite go over very well. I won't tell you why, but it's all going to be good now. Hey, as we begin, Mother, yes. I wanted to let you know that we have had numerous attempts at trying to name this podcast, and honestly, we just cannot think of anything. So we're asking for suggestions. Some of the suggestions have been, Humble Heroes. That was one. Two Men and a Bible. The Wise Men of Wisdom. I like that one. Anyway, what do you think? I'm sure you've got some ideas.
Well, considering you just got your second master's, why don't you call it the Master's Voice?
That's a very humble title. I like that. I don't know if Russell will like that.
He'll get over it.
He's a master too. He's of course, you know, in England, master means boy. So I don't really know if that's very...
Well, go for your doctorate and you can be doctor, the doctor's voice.
That's a whole different conversation. Ooh, we could call it Smarty Pants. I like that.
You could.
Russell's pretty smart. Well, we digress, and we haven't even started yet. Hey, could you just for a second just kind of introduce yourself, talk about Dad a little bit, maybe tell us where you are and you know what you guys do down there in Sun City.
We absolutely do as little as we want or as much as we want. He plays golf 3 to 4 times a week. I work with a legal nurse part-time from the home, but the rest of the time I'm either reading a book, doing genealogy, or we're active in our church work. He's in charge of the men's ministry at our church, and I work with the ladies' ministry in the different aspects of the Bible study, and then we're under the choir. So yeah, we're busy. We enjoy life here very much.
So every day Saturday.
6 Saturdays and 1 Sunday.
That must be nice.
And, yes. And it's hard to keep our days straight. But thank goodness my pills are in a container that has the day on the top. I always know what day it is by when I take my pill.
So you're telling me this is what I have to look forward to whenever it's my turn to live in Sun City.
Which will be sooner than you think.
No!
It creeps up on us.
Well, we're not going anywhere, so I'm not going to worry about that.
Okay.
Well, I know that you got a chance to read the sermon. You haven't seen it or heard it yet, but, you know, it was a Mother's Day sermon.
Correct.
And a couple of the things that I talked about were primarily learned from you and Dad and growing up in your house. And I wanted to see if we can maybe unpack those a little bit. One of the things that I talked about was maybe three ways on how we as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, could really care for our world, care for each other. If you remember, I talked about the idea that God in Scripture, several occasions, is referred to in a very feminine way. And he's got a very mothering, nurturing side to him. And I think that just the idea of us being nurturing and caring is very godlike, very Christlike. But I know guys in general don't really do that. We're not really nurturers. Hey, Bill, I want you to know I care for you. We just don't say that type of stuff.
No, you slap each other on the back and say.
and nod our head, and that's a whole conversation. Men can have a whole conversation with just the nod of a head. You know, it doesn't take much.
But that leaves more time for the women to have their conversations.
So as you read the sermon, you know, the three things that I mentioned were that as followers of Jesus Christ, ways that we can be nurturing and caring for each other. One of the ways I mentioned was to delight in others. And that's something that I think that you're very good at is at least to me and my brother, you were good at delighting in us. How important is that?
Oh, that is extremely important because unless you're delighting in something that you're not enjoying, you don't give it everything you've got. If you are the people you love, if you watch them and you see that they're making you happy, you make them happy. And that's what you do with your friends and your community and things like that. You see a need. You look at them and you think, how can I fill that need? And by seeing, like a Christmas present, you get delight when you see them appreciate what you've done. When you go out and go shopping and you buy a gift and the person opens it and they look at it and they're so excited, that absolutely thrills your heart. And as a mother, it thrills my heart to see my kids having a successful life, and they're delighting in that, and therefore I'm delighting in it also.
There's a book out that I just finished called Tattoos on the Heart, and I would highly recommend it. It's basically about this idea of what does it mean to delight in people, even though their life style is not ideal. You know, this one man works in the gang culture in California, but these people, they have never had anyone ever take delight in who they are. And this man is doing that. He's showing them that he loves them, that they're worth something, that their life is not based on their tattoos or what's on the outside, but it's all about the fact that they are created beings of God, children of God. And if they would just realize that, the potential and the capability they'd have is infinite. And so the thing that I think you are really good at, especially with me, was letting me know that I was valuable and worth it. You know, some people think that they're worth less, but one thing I think you're really good at is making me feel special, I guess.
Well, God made you. God made everybody, and He doesn't really make mistakes. He makes us perfect when we're little. We make our own mistakes, but the judgment that we place on people is so unfair. We look at people and we immediately assume something about them. And when we get to know them, we find out that our assumptions were totally, totally wrong. And to me, it's just give them a chance. At least act like, you know, let them know that you're there and you're not going to judge them for what they do.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay. So one other thing that we talked about was this idea that names matter. And how important it was to be called by your name. And I remember in the past how you used to say my three names all together, Timothy Scott Allen, with such energy and conviction and passion. Usually whenever I did something very inappropriate. And so thank you for that and for calling out.
It gets your attention. That's the main thing. God has to do that to us, doesn't he?
He does. But the one thing that I do think that you and Dad are really good at are making people realize that they are somebody, because you guys are very good at calling them by name. I don't even know if you even know that you were good at that, but that's something that I think I learned from you.
Well, I know that if somebody just walks up to me and says, hello, I'm thinking, you know, they didn't take the time to learn who I am. That, to me, it's very important to know people's names so they'll know that you remember them, you took time to think about them, and maybe you even said a prayer for them, which will help you remember names if you pray for people.
Another thing that I mentioned was putting God's word into practice and how everybody can do this. If you're following Jesus Christ, I think this is a way that we can care and nurture our world. So how important has that been to you?
Oh, I think it's very important. But, you know, it's so easy when someone shows you a need in their life for you to say, well, I'll pray for you. When actually what you need to do is say, well, what can I do for you? Because a lot of times just stepping out and taking them to the grocery store, doing something simple, means so much to them, especially the people in this area. You know, so many of them are to the point that they really can't do a lot on their own. And we get so busy, we forget other people's needs. And we just need to be there to help fill that need for them.
Well, before we go, I just had a quick question. I told a story at the very beginning of the sermon about that moment in gymnastics in fourth grade, whenever I really went for it. And I did my best to do a back flip and landed on my back. And I just wanted to hear your perspective and what you thought of at that exact moment. You may not even remember that, but I do. What was going through your mind?
My main thought was, oh my goodness, I hope he's not hurt. Am I going to have to take him to the hospital? But then I was just glad you weren't hurt. It didn't embarrass me at all because I lived with you. And it did not embarrass me, but I was concerned about your physical well-being.
Well, as I told the story, I said, I saw your eyes were really big. And then I looked at Dad, his head was in his hands, and he was shaking his head back and forth. But I've always wondered, you know, well, I guess I don't have to wonder because I've seen my kids do something like that. And so,
well, I just didn't want you to be hurt. That was the main thing.
Okay, the last thing. If you had anything to change in your past and the upbringing of your children, and you could do anything differently, what would that be? And just give you an example. Let's say your son may or may not have broken an anniversary clock that you were very fond of, and you just happened to walk in at the moment whenever he's trying to pick up the pieces. Would you still to this day look at him and call him a little heathen?
Well, I think the story is a little strange because there were four of you little boys that were playing roughhousing, and my anniversary clock just magically fell off. And all I said was, "You little heathens, you knocked my clock off."
I do not think that was plural. There was no S on the end of that.
That's because you were so frightened.
Not that I continue to harbor any ill will.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's very funny. Well, hey, I wanted to thank you for taking time out to do this for me.
It's my pleasure.
A second time you took time out to do this.
Well, maybe the second time's better. We'll see.
Well, as we leave, do you have any final encouragement to those people? Maybe their mothers out there listening, just having a hard time making it through. Do you have any encouragement for them?
I have. My mother had a very favorite saying, "This too shall pass." And believe me, it passes way, way too quickly. Enjoy your kids while they're still little at home, because before you know it, they'll be gone and you'll be thinking, why didn't I take more time just to spend with each one and get to really, really know them when they're here? And now they're gone and they have their own lives. So enjoy your children while you've got them there.
Well, June, Mom, thanks for being here.
I love you very much.
I love you too. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for this episode of Behind the Sermon. Please join us next week. We'll see you then.